Welcome to the Boxing Talk Show, Fair but Firm, with the Hall of Fame boxing referee. I'm Joe Cortez and co-host John Zimmel for all of Las Vegas. Come on, guys, let's touch them up. Three fight. I'm Joe Cortez, Fair but Firm.
Hello and welcome back to the Fair but Firm Show here in Las Vegas, the entertainment capital of the world, and of course, the boxing capital of the world. Last week, we were at some university talking with a group of individuals at the Latin Chamber of Commerce, and now they're calling it the Sports Hall of Fame, the Sports Capital of the World. I mean, it is like sports is the big thing here in Vegas, John.
Oh, yeah.
The Raiders, the Golden Knights.
Yeah, you name it, man.
Now they got baseball coming in. We've had boxing was the first sport in Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
And now we got the women's basketball team.
Oh, yeah, we got WNBA team here, too.
And, so we
had the Rookie of the Year this
year. Yeah. And we're getting a lot of sports into Nevada. And now with the Raiders, a big stadium coming up. You drive by it on 15 and you see that.
That's crazy.
It's beautiful
so big.
Stadium. It's going to be so big. It's going to be amazing. They hope to have it all completed for next year, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, probably, yeah, next year for the games.
Exactly,
should be really good.
Exactly. It'll be a lot of fun, too, with all these sports here. But I'm more concerned about all the parking, all the traffic. We got 45 million tourists a year into Las Vegas now. Imagine with all these other additions with the sports team.
I don't think it'll matter.
It may not matter. People are making
45 million is a lot. Like, 46 million is not that much more.
Yeah. But anyway, talking about the sports, Saturday night we had Errol Spence Jr., who beat Mikey Garcia. It was a wipeout, really, because not that Garcia got hurt that bad. He was almost ready to be stopped in the 11th round.
Yeah, but it was a domination. It was a boxing clinic.
It was a boxing clinic. I mean, Errol Spence Jr. Took Boxer's ears off, really.
He really did. I mean, he outlanded him 4-1.
Yeah.
He won every single round, by my estimation, and all three of the official judges. And most you can give him 2. I mean, at the end of the day, it was an absolute clinic in every way. He did the thing that people said he wasn't going to do. People said he was going to, if Mikey wanted to win, he'd have to outbox him. And if Errol wanted to win, he'd have to bully him. And instead, Errol outboxed him. It was absolutely, it was fascinating to watch.
Yeah, and it's good for us to talk about the fight game itself and what happened Saturday night. But we got somebody on the line who actually fought him in the amateurs and has sparred with him on numerous occasions here in Las Vegas. We have with us none other than Diego Magdaleno. Diego,
yes,
you're on the line.
Sir. Hey, guys. Thank you.
Hey Diego, tell me about the fight. What was your take on the fight Saturday night? How did you see it? And what went wrong?
It was a much-anticipated fight, but everyone saw, that there was a bigger guy in there with a smaller Mikey Garcia. Yes, he has the experience. He has everything, but he just doesn't have what it takes to be in the welterweight division. I give Mikey all credit for doing what everyone thought, he couldn't do. And he went up there he jumped 2 weight classes and got in the ring with someone who's very experienced,
yes,
who has an amazing amateur background. Spence is, hometown kid in fighting Texas. He did the unimaginable. And my hat goes off to Mikey Garcia for doing what many fighters do, don't do. Is, test themselves.
Absolutely.
Everyone wants to walk away with that 50-0 record, and look up to Floyd Mayweather and, the great just because they have an undefeated record. No, there's a lot of greats with losses on their records. It's because they test themselves.
Exactly. It was just like Muhammad Ali when he fought Frazier, when he fought Ken Norton. I mean, he fought these guys. I mean, they were very tough fights for him. But yeah, he tested himself against the best, and that's why they call him the greatest, because he did beat the best that was out there.
Yeah, he dared to be great.
Right. And, he definitely did.
Yeah, and taking nothing from Mikey Garcia, I mean, he definitely is a Hall of Famer. I mean, he's already four division champion in 4 different weight classes.
Absolutely.
He was undefeated with 39 and old record with 30 knockouts. So he lost. So he got 1 blemish on his record. Big deal.
And is it even really a blemish? No, but it was.
Yeah, right. Look who he lost to, right? Yeah,
exactly. And his stock still stay up on top.
As it should.
I mean, he was not a fluke that night. He came to fight. But he couldn't make it the guy.
He'll
go
back down to 135, fight 1 tune-up, and everyone will forget. I mean, he'll be fine.
Oh
yeah, he'll do just fine. That's the question about it. So tell me, how do you see Mikey's career going from now?
So what I just wanted to point out was, you know, what a great fighter for doing that. And it's no wonder why everyone tuned into that fight, because Mikey is a fan favorite.
No question
People
about it.
People want to see that. People want to see that.
Exactly. They had 47,525 fans.
That was
at the fight Saturday night. That was good at the there in Texas.
And an incredible first pay-per-view for either of them.
Yeah, it was.
It was a good turnout.
It was a good turnout. I'm sure the pay-per-view numbers are going to be going pretty high as well.
Yeah. And I think Mikey said it himself, you know, in the interview. He knew it, you know, the weight and the left-handed stance, the reach. Spence knows how to use what he has, and I said that before. He's got an amazing range. He knows how to use a jab, which is, you know, the most effective punch in boxing if you know how to use it and he's skilled at it.
Yeah, exactly.
But, I believe that Mikey learned a lesson in the weight class, and he's suitable for you know, 135 and 140. I could see.
Yeah, he didn't look that great against.
I think it's gonna happen with him and Lomachenko. Eventually, gonna happen.
I hope so.
Yes,
you know,
But then he's facing, you know, yeah, he's not facing a taller, heavier opponent, but he is facing the. You know, this is a great experience of fighting a left-handed, a southpaw fighter.
Yeah, I got him ready with Lomachenko. Now, if you listeners out there and you fans watching, just to let you know, we have Diego Magdaleno on the line. He was NABF champion and WBO Intercontinental champion as well. So we have a man talking about experience, about boxing, you being a southpaw yourself.
Right.
Did you see a lot of mistakes that Garcia made, that if it would have been you in there?
Yeah, for sure. There, some of the things that he was doing was he was staying, you know, at his Spence's range. You know what I mean? As someone like that, you want to be constantly moving that head and keeping something in front of his face, keeping the jab. You know, his punch stats weren't that great in that fight. He wasn't moving using his hands. He was very, very low on the, you know, the amount of punches that he was throwing.
Do you think that that's because sometimes you feel the power of your opponent and it makes you want to hold back a little, because if you open up too many punches, you're more susceptible to getting
hit. He seemed like he was scared to get
knocked out. Oh, for sure. Yes. Uh-huh. When a fighter's open, it's usually when he's throwing, you know, when he's throwing his shots, that's when a fighter can be vulnerable.
Yeah.
So it's a risk. You're taking a risk when you're unloading some shots. So yeah, that could have been a big factor.
I think he was aggressive until he felt his power, and he was just trying to survive.
Right. So it was a very courageous thing for him to do, and you know, that's what people want to see. They want to see people testing themselves, and it's a part of the sport. You know, a lot of fighters are going out there and they're still ducking fighters. You know, you see it all the time, and he did something that was, you know.
Yeah, no, he's very, he has a big heart, and he saw something in Errol Spence prior to the fight. That's why he chose him. But it goes to show that he says, you know, I want to prove to the world that I am the best out there. And he wanted to prove to himself, but he took a shot, you know what, and he failed. But only in that fight he failed, but believe me, he'll be coming back as great as he was in the past, and people will love him even more so, because they say, you had a lot of guts, you had a lot of cojones to get out there and fight the way you did. You know, you got to give you a lot of credit for your performance and for just signing on that contract, which a lot of welterweights, even some of the champions, will want to take on.
They won't even say his name.
And to me, that's what a champion is. A champion doesn't mean you have an O on your, you know, you have no losses,
absolutely,
you're undefeated. A champion is somebody who gets down, learns from it, and gets back up to keep fighting. That's what a champion is to me.
Exactly.
You know, they learn from their mistakes, and they want to do better. They want to test themselves. And, you know, my last fight, you know, yeah, I went down, I got back up, and, you know, I learned from every experience. I think the fights that I've learned the most from was from my losses.
Right. Well, that's the main thing, that you go to the drawing board, you go back and say, you know, I made these mistakes, now I don't want to make them again, so it makes you a better fighter.
It sure does.
Yeah. I think I'm making a comeback, Diego. I feel like I got the urge again. Watching
there you
guys,
go.
I mean, come on.
You know, once a fighter, always a fighter. It never leaves us.
Yeah, right. It's always in the blood. That's
what it's like.
It's in the blood.
Yeah. Well, Diego, I want to thank you so much for being on the air, giving us your input
on
the fight Saturday night. And we hope to talk to you soon, brother. See you tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. We'll see you guys soon.
Okay, brother.
Right.
Thank
you for having me.
Thank you. Okay, you viewers out there, you know, you had a great fight out there. Diego Magdaleno, who was a lightweight NABF champion and WBO Intercontinental champion.
Great friend of the show.
And he's a southpaw himself, so that's why I wanted to have him on the show today, because he has the same style, more or less, like Errol Spence Jr. Not as tall, not as hard as a hitter of Errol Spence Jr., but he has a lot of experience, and I thought it would be good to have him on the show today to explain his take on the fight Saturday
night. Some people aren't able to adapt to southpaws as well, and especially not at the highest level. It was a criticism of Floyd's game for a long time. I think he proved that wrong.
Yeah.
But I think it was true in the beginning. It was true against Zab. It was true in the amateurs. It was definitely true. And I think you had a really interesting story about you and your brother that kind of illustrated this fact. Can you share that with us?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, my brother Mike fought a southpaw at a 126-pounder at featherweight class, and I was a bantamweight at the time, and my brother, you know, lost to this southpaw, Luis Ortiz Aponte from Puerto Rico. Oh. This fight took place in New York at the Sunnyside Garden. And that same year that Luis Ortiz Aponte was blabbing his mouth off, saying, okay, you know what? I beat one of the Cortez brothers. Now I'm going to beat the other one. I said, oh, yeah? So, you know, I was not a featherweight.
You were pro at the time?
No, it was still amateur.
Cool.
Just before we turned pro. And then I decided to, you know, I'm going to go up and wait a little bit. Shut this guy up, you know? And I went up and weighed. I went up, not to 126. I came up with 122, 123. But I took him on.
Yeah.
And you know what? It was one of my easiest fights. I took this southpaw. The thing is, when you got a southpaw in front of you, you got to move. I just throw the right uppercut and the left hook. That was that was the key punches that afternoon for that fight. The great guys for Indian Ortega, who was one of the best in the welterweight division. He had 185 fights. He was my mentor, and he was there that afternoon. And I remember him in the dressing room telling me, Joe, move, keep the head moving all the time. But when you dip to your right, come up with the right uppercut, and then the left hook over the top. And you know what? That's what I did. It worked all night long.
And even though you say that you usually said that your brother Mike was a better fighter than you, but he wasn't able to overcome those obstacles, you were. And it was really just a matter of styles and your ability to overcome that challenge of fighting a southpaw, correct?
Yeah, exactly. But not only that, but he beat my brother. I said, oh, yeah? now we got to fight.
I get that. I want to allude to a couple of things you said earlier when we were on the phone with Diego. I didn't want to interrupt him because I knew we didn't have much time with him. But the first thing I want to say is when you said he failed, there's a term in bodybuilding called going to failure. It means when you lift until a point where not where you get tired, not where you get sore, not where you quit, where you literally can't lift anymore.
Exactly.
I think Mikey Garcia boxed to failure. He found out where his ceiling was, and, you know, he dared to be great. He tested himself to a point. Every fighter has a ceiling, right?
Exactly.
I mean, everyone does. We knew the Floyds was 155. We knew, I mean, you know, same thing with Pacquiao. We know what these guys' ceilings are. He just, you know, had the courage to find out what his ceiling was.
Yeah, and you know one thing, he didn't quit. You know what?
No, he didn't.
This time behind me, that's why I put up the sign today, it's not over when you lose, it's over when you quit.
He definitely didn't quit.
You see? And he didn't quit. You know, he's a fighter, he's a champion, and he walked out of there with his head up high. He was proud, even though he lost. He talked like a gentleman. He gave all kudos to Errol Spence Jr.
Mm-hmm.
for his performance. You know, he said he was a better man that night, and it's true, it was.
Yes.
I mean, it doesn't mean that Mikey Garcia is not ever going to come back out wide.
No, and he didn't seem damaged or anything like Kell Brook did after the Triple G fight.
99% of chances of him going to the back to the lightweight division, that's where it's going to go. What, 99?
I don't even think he'll go back to 140. He'll stay at 135. He knows where he is.
If he goes to 140, it may be a couple of years down the line, but he may take a shot, but not 147.
He's done 140 twice. He fought Broner and Lipinets, but he didn't look great against either of them.
Yeah.
I mean, Broner, as low volume as he fought, he kind of was able to bully him a little bit. That's what scared me the most. I thought Errol Spence was going to bully him, and he didn't. He didn't bully him.
Yeah.
That's one thing. They both said something beforehand. Mikey Garcia famously has said over and over again, I've never felt tested. I'm 39-0, and people don't give me credit because I don't deserve credit because I'm fighting guys who don't deserve to be in the ring with me. I need to go up and fight other champions. I need to go up, which is amazing. But Errol Spence also said, I have a lot of tools in my arsenal that people haven't seen. I can bully everyone that I want to, but if I need to use my footwork, timing, reflexes, and overall fundamentals, I can do that. And he showed that in every aspect of his game on Saturday night. Yeah, it was just unbelievably impressive. But let me ask you, when you say, and you've said it, you know, we've been repeating it throughout, that he saw something in Errol, that what do you think he saw? And do you think Errol switching up his game plan was able to mitigate that a lot?
Well, what happens is that when you're against your opponent, you can see a lot of mistakes that he's making. I say, you're not going to beat this guy. Mm-hmm. But then when you actually get in there,
you feel that shot to the liver.
And they start hitting you with some punches. The plan that you had to go out there was a plan that didn't work. You know what I mean? A lot of, even some fans out there right now even asking me, well, you know, Joe, it's one of our viewers out there today, Mikey Garcia versus Danny Garcia. You know what? Mikey Garcia's got to stay in the lightweight division.
Yeah, no, he's
unless Danny Garcia goes down to 135.
They might meet at 140, yeah. But, like, they're not going to know. No chance. He knows where he lives now.
Yeah. He knows that.
Thanks for your question, though.
Yeah, that was a good question, but Mikey Garcia should stay out of 135. 140, if Danny Garcia was to come up.
Yeah, catch weight. Have some fun.
Have Mikey Garcia go up to 140. And catch weight, 140, super lightweight championship fight. That would be good.
It would be fun. I'd watch it. Yeah. Junior welter.
Yeah, it'd be a good fight. Good question out there. Any guys out there have any other questions, please feel free
to
ask them because I can ask you right away in reference to what our take will be on this.
Okay, we talked a lot about what's next for Mikey, but what's next for Errol? What's next for Errol Spencer? He called out Pacquiao. He called out Sean Porter. For some reason, he still doesn't say Terrence Crawford's name. We all want that fight, and I'm letting it marinate. I'll give him because they deserve it, because that's the only way we're getting it is cross-promotion. I'll give that fight another year before I start screaming for it.
Well, Manny Pacquiao was there Saturday night, and he was there for a reason. Believe me, he was there because he wanted to...
Wanted Mikey Garcia to win.
Well, he got Errol Spencer Jr. now saying, no way, I want... He was looking for Manny Pacquiao right after the fight, after he got his hand
did
raised.
Did he seem super enthused, though? He didn't, right? Well, when he said, do you want this guy next? And he was like, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know what? Manny Pacquiao wasn't like 100%, but you know what? They talked that it's a business, too. You got to say, you know, don't show too excited about taking the fight, because we say, no, maybe the promoter, up the ante,
yeah.
They could put more money
out
there.
Can I tell you what I think? Honestly, I think he's still waiting for that Mayweather phone call. I know. I really do. I think Pacquiao doesn't want to take that big money fight where he knows he can lose if there's still a Mayweather option on the table.
Yeah.
And I know that they've been like, you know, we haven't heard much about those talks. The majority of what we've heard is Leonard Ellaby and Freddie Roach and them telling us Mayweather keeps insisting that he's retired. But if they throw 65% at Mayweather, I think he takes it.
Well, you know, Mayweather was there Saturday night as well.
That's
what I'm saying. He was there supporting his fighter.
Jaylen Love.
Yeah, Love and Love. Didn't have any love Saturday night. He had some loss Saturday night.
Let's talk about that for a second.
I mean, okay, Love.
Because David Benavidez looked incredible, right? I mean, he looked absolutely unbelievable.
He's 22 years of age, and he made a mistake. He got busted for doing some little drug.
Some drug, but it wasn't performance enhancing. It was recreational, so it's not like it's the reason why he is, the way he is.
And
but we're talking about a 22-year-old who's fully in his prime, peak physically. And, I mean, all he can do is get smarter, right? I mean, this is a guy
He's 22 years young. You know, at 168 pounds, I mean, he looks good. I mean, he could definitely go up to 175.
Who would you favor over him at 168? Maybe Callum Smith and Canelo Alvarez?
Yeah.
Other than that, I can't see anybody else.
Yeah.
I think he wipes out Durrell, gets his belt back, and...
He wants his belt back. He's going to get it back. He said after the fight, I'm going to get my belt. I think that Durrell was there.
Durrell was there.
He said, I want my belt back. I'm going to get that belt. Belongs to me.
And it does.
And he's going to get it back.
Yeah, he will.
You know?
He'll be Durrell.
Now, if I was... betting, I would say, I'm not a bettor. I never did in my life in any sport. But if I was a bettor, my money would go on
Benavidez, no, undeniably. Yeah, I mean, that's just the way. Yeah, Benavidez looks absolutely unstoppable.
Yeah.
And he looks like he could become one of the faces of the sport coming up.
Yeah, he's
speaking of the faces of the sport, though, right now, Errol Spence is the truth, man.
Yeah, there's a lot of Mexican fighters coming out. There's a kid at 4 Saturday night from Tijuana. Another fighter from Tijuana. Last name is Neri, N-E-R-Y.
Oh, Luis Neri, yeah.
And
he fought
his kid Arroyo, McJoe.
McJoe, McWilliams' brother.
Yeah, from Puerto Rico. And I tell you, he put a whipping on this kid from
Puerto Rico. Is McJoe or McSomething? Is that a traditional?
McJoe.
Is that a traditional Puerto Rican name?
No, it's probably a name from somewhere.
That, I've never heard it. I've only heard him and his brother, McWilliams and McJoe.
Yeah,
that's the only times I ever heard that.
But maybe they want to be Irish, you know?
Maybe, yeah, like an Irish first name.
Yeah.
Like Shaquille O'Neal, like how he's Irish.
Yeah, McNeil or something like that. So anyway, they picked him up. McJoe Arroyo, he got his butt whipped Saturday night. Yeah. And he should have not been in that class with this kid, Neri. Even though Neri had unheard of, first time he ever fought out of Mexico.
I like Neri, though.
And he showed like he has all the tools to be a great bantamweight champion.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I got a question. What's it going to take to get that Errol Spence Terrence Crawford fight? Because if it's up to me, I think if Errol Spence cleans out that division, right? And he can't because they're all on PBC. If he doesn't, let's say he doesn't even take the Pacquiao fight. If he goes after Sean Porter next and then goes after Keith Thurman, takes both their straps, and then offers Terrence Crawford an opportunity to unify the welterweight division after he completely unified the light welterweight division, that's an undeniable fight and a super fight worthy of cross promotion.
Okay, I'd like to see that fight happen. I don't know what the promoters are going to do, but they don't want to lose their golden egg.
No, I agree.
So they're going to say, you know what, let's stay away from Terrence Crawford. Terrence Crawford right now looks really unbeatable.
Terrence Crawford is unbelievable.
You know, but you know, every fighter has a bad night.
But he won't make those cross promotional fights with those other guys.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the only way you do it is I think the only way you get that fight and that crazy super fight pay-per-view money, which, you know, this was good money, and he'll make good money in the next two also. But if he collects all those and gives Terrence Crawford an opportunity to do that, because, I mean, what do you say? Terrence Crawford becomes an all-time great if he completely unifies the 140 and 147-pound division.
Well, Terrence Crawford definitely is a good one. He's a southpaw himself.
Yes.
He's from Nebraska.
He's a switch hitter, you know.
Yeah. He can go both ways, and he has a lot of talent. I mean, he's one of the few in the boxing game that can really box your ears off. I don't care how good you are. I would like to see him against Sean Porter.
I'd like to see him against any of the champions.
Yeah, Sean Porter.
But I think Errol Spence is the only one that can beat him.
But Keith Thurman is out there licking his chops, but he's a little bit overconfident, I think, of himself. He got to beat.
He didn't look good against Josecito.
No, he got to fight a couple of more good fighters.
Yeah, he's got to come back together. I mean, he's been out of the game for a while now. Yeah. He's got to do something.
Yeah.
But
he's also undefeated, and he's still a WBA champion.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what this Terrence Crawford and Amir Khan does as far as numbers go. Because the more their fame elevates, both Crawford and Khan.
Right.
I mean, we've seen that. We've only seen two cross-promotional pay-per-views ever. And it was Tyson Lewis, and it was Mayweather-Pacquiao. It has to be that big of a deal for those two, for the networks to cross-promote.
I mean, there's so much money out there. I can't believe. I mean, I'm coming back.
You coming back?
I'm coming back.
You doing it?
Come on, man. You know, I mean, these guys, all the money is out there. Talking about $100 million, $200 million.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me, man?
It's there.
I'm coming back.
But you got to let it build. You got to marinate.
You know what?
No, don't do me.
No, let me take your hair. Let me put it on. Let me knock off a couple of pounds.
You look better without my hair.
I want to look like Marvin Hagler.
Okay, then you can have my hair.
Okay. Okay, guys, you know, we're going to have some fun. I mean, that's what this show is all about. We love talking about it. We don't want anybody to feel upset. Any fighters, we're just talking what happened Saturday night. Our opinion, it's only our personal opinion and not your opinion. But we're trying to just educate you on what we know about boxing. You know, the years that I've been with some of the great champions of all time, I've been in the ring with these guys. And you guys know I've been in there with Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Larry Holmes, Mike Tyson, Lennox Lewis, Manny Pacquiao, Floyd Mayweather. Just to name a few of 176 championship fights. I can't believe it. I got to pinch myself sometimes. I can't believe it. My dream was just to do one championship fight. One.
Yeah.
And my first one was Aaron Pryor, Miguel Montilla.
That's a good one.
Back in 1982 in Atlantic City.
Were you nervous?
Nervous? No, I wasn't nervous. I felt good. I was a little butterfly, but nothing really nervous. You can't be nervous. I mean,
you were anxious.
It's good to be a little nervous, but not afraid.
Yeah. You don't want to be afraid.
I was a little nervous, doing my first world championship fight. And here we are today. Here. So many years later, over 40 years ago, and we're still talking about what's happening today. I still have that burning desire inside of me. I tell you, I want to come back.
You can do it?
I want to come back.
You can do it right now. Don't do it.
Let me go. No, come on, man.
I'll hold you back.
But anyway, that's what's happening.
That is so funny.
I just want to pitch myself. But you know what? Being in the International Boxing Hall of Fame, this year, International Boxing Hall of Fame ring, this is what did it for me. I decided, you know what? I'm going to step back from boxing. All these champions, all these guys that I refereed throughout the years, those are the guys, they're going for this ring. And I'm glad that I got my ring. I went in the back door. I didn't make it as a world champion, but I made it as a referee in
there's
boxing.
No, I mean, that's not even the back door, baby. Your impact on the sport was undeniable.
Well, I really enjoyed doing that, and I love it. That's why I shared all this knowledge and wisdom with you guys and my co-host, John Zimmer, We want to talk to you guys about what's going on with boxing. What's the latest and what's coming up next? What's coming up next?
Let me ask you a question that I want to think I know the answer to, but I want to hear your answer on it anyway. There was a lot of talk about if Mikey Garcia beats Errol Spence, he's the number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world. And it was deserved because he would have. I mean, he would have been. Errol Spence dominated that fight. 120 to 107 one of the judges had it. The other two had it 120-108. He outlanded almost 5-1. Is Errol Spence the number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world?
I think right now he stands up there.
Right? He's in the conversation.
Yeah, but, you know, he's still got to beat somebody at his weight class to say, you know.
Well, Kell Brook was up there. Kell Brook was a champion.
But he fought these guys. He fought Mikey Garcia, 135-pounder.
I agree.
See, and that's the little asterisk that you can put it there. He beat Mikey Garcia, but, I mean, Mikey Garcia was two weight classes below him.
Oh, of course.
You know, so I want to see him fight a guy like Keith Thurman, Sean Porter.
He wants those fights too, man. He tried to fight Sean Porter, and the fight didn't get made, so he ended up fighting. Mikey only because of that.
Well, you know, Sean Porter and Errol Spence Jr. are good friends.
But they talked about it after the show. They said, "Look, I mean, and having watched that last week's fight with Sean Porter against Yordanis Ugas, does he have a chance? Honestly, Errol Spence is unbelievable.
The way Sean Porter fought last week didn't impress me.
He has to
much.
Go back to his bully style, make it messy.
He got
to
come back to his pit bull style, you know. And I'm sure he's going to come back to his old style. Cause I'm sure he's heard it from a million people. Why do you try to outbox a boxer when you are really a banger? Your style, you're inside.
You know what's funny is that after they said that, and we said it over and over again. If you watched last week's show, which I'm sure most of you did, we said over and over again, why is Sean Porter? He's a banger. He's a bully. He's going to come in. He's going to make it messy, and he's going to throw a lot of volume. Why is he trying to outbox a boxer? But you know who did outbox a boxer? Errol Spence Jr. He outboxed a top 5 pound for pound boxer. I mean, right after saying, "How do you, you know, why switch up styles? Why not just do what works for you? What's been working for you?" We saw Errol Spence display his full arsenal, and it was just unbelievably impressive. And I can't say enough about how what class he was.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, talking about different weight classes. That's the only reason why I don't say it was like I give him 100%. You know, A rating because pound for pound, the best in boxing. He did fight the best.
Yeah.
One of the best.
It was the best
there.
Man he's faced.
Yeah, but 135 pounder.
Agreed.
I want to see him fight a 147 pound champion. Or maybe he may want to go up and weight to 154 and challenge somebody at 154. Maybe.
Jared Hurd?
Jared Hurd would be a good one.
I'd love that fight, but they haven't been. I think he should stay home.
Yeah.
Stay at 147. He's been making a lot of noise there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I would love to watch him against Jared Hurd, but if I'm his manager, I say clean out that division, get that super fight with Terrence Crawford.
There's a lot of money there. There's a lot of money.
A lot of money in welterweight. Not a lot of money in super welterweight.
I mean, the welterweight division with Manny Pacquiao for Floyd Mayweather, I mean, these guys were making
$600 million.
$600 million.
Greatest fight ever. Yeah, biggest fight ever.
And you know what? And that's the welterweight division. So I think they're smart if they stay within that circle of the welterweights because that's what the
clean
money is.
Clean out the division,
right,
then move up if you need to. You're 29 years old.
Exactly. You know, and eventually they'll be recognized as pound for pound, the best.
Yeah, I mean, look, if he cleans out that division, goes
in the world. Okay, fans, listen, we really enjoy. Talking about this fight Saturday night, but we also have some other fights coming up in the very near future.
April 20th, we have the big Amir Converse Terrence Crawford fight, and we can see the other guy in the big welterweight conversation and his performance for the first time this year. And I'm very excited about that. Amir Khan is a slick boxer and a very entertaining person to watch, and he's going up against who I honestly still consider the number one pound for pound fighter in the world in Terrence Crawford. We have, you know, the Canelo Alvarez versus Danny Jacobs fight on May 4th. We have Anthony Joshua versus Jarrell Miller in June. There is so much big boxing happening right now. And, I mean, I have people coming up to me about this fight who don't even watch boxing. People, I mean, it's amazing the outreach they were able to do, that Fox was able to do on this fight. And, I mean, the way that boxing has grown over the last 3 years, I mean, mostly because of our show, I assume, has just been outstanding. And it's so fun to watch us grow out of the Mayweather area, which was the era I grew up in, and move us into the future. And it's just been a joy to watch as a fan and an analyst.
Absolutely. And I really truly believe that the heavyweight division is back on the rise again.
Oh.
And we know that back in the era when I was refereeing some of the fights with Mike Tyson, and let's go back a little further back. We got Muhammad Ali. I mean, he was fighting Ken Norton, Larry Holmes. I mean, he was Joe Frazier fights with Ali and Frazier.
Yeah, I'm mad at the heavyweight division. They're not doing anything. They're not moving.
The heavyweight division, nothing has happened.
Wilder's expected to turn down a $100 million deal tomorrow, which would have given him two Anthony Joshua fights and the Dominic Brazil fight, which he had to fight anyway.
Yeah.
Now, I understand and respect his desire to be a free agent. Being a free agent who's just represented by PBC is what allowed this Mikey Garcia versus Errol Spence fight to happen. Don't let him fool you. This isn't just two guys wanted it, they got it. There's so much behind the scenes. Joe will tell you because he's been in his whole life. So much politics, so much money, so much promotion that has to be done to make fights work. Being a free agent has its advantages. There's no question. But if you want to be the best, want to fight the best, one face, one name, one champion, everything he's been saying, the best way to do that would be to sign a three-fight deal with DAZN. So I'm disappointed with it. Tyson Fury signs an 80 million pound fight. I mean, we thought this was the year of the heavyweights, didn't we? And now it seems like it's not. I mean, not even close.
Ryan is a little mixed up with the welterweights, and the heavyweights are kind of fading a little bit. Mm-hmm. But with Tyson Fury, the way he fought against Deontay Wilder a couple of months ago.
Oh, it was on the rise. It was huge.
It kind of brought it back up again. But again, you know, the promoters and the fighters themselves, they make it a little more difficult.
Blah, blah, blah.
And the ones that are losing are the fans. We were hungry to see Deontay Wilder against...
Which is why we give so much credit to Mikey Garcia, which is why we give so much credit to guys who go
Anthony Joshua and
Tyson Fury.
Deontay Wilder was a fight the fans wanted to see.
Still want to see.
And hopefully that happens soon. And fans, you know, again, like I said before, I've been in there with some of the great ones throughout the years. It's been a lot of fun sharing our knowledge and wisdom, especially days like today, giving you all the information, all the results what happened this past weekend. We hope to see you next week again. Take care, keep your guards up at all times, protect yourselves at all times, and remember, I'm fair but I'm firm, keep them up, touch them up, God bless.
Fair but firm, with the Hall of Fame boxing referee, I'm Joe Cortez for all of Las Vegas. Come on guys, let's touch them up, three fight, I'm Joe Cortez, fair but firm.